Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 10. Darkness. The sun was now high in the sky and bore hard upon my brow as I fell to my knees in abject disappointment. In final acceptance of the folly of my actions, amidst the vast expanse of dread and desolation which was the Great Rift Valley, I had finally accepted defeat. The sun was shining brightly in my eyes, too brightly. My eyes had started to pain, and my head was spinning with the heat that the desert sun now radiated. It was nearing noon, and my throat was parched. I tried to clear my mouth of the sand that the desert winds had blown in. I was walking in utter dismay and great despondency. Towards what? I knew not. Perhaps I was searching something, something that I thought I had with me, only to realize that it had slipped right through my hands. As I glanced around, I could see the dried wilderness of the valley staring at me, boding nothing but fear and dread. The Great Rift Valley was about to claim another victim. I walked on, though in my heart I knew not where I was walking. There were no roads to tread, and no promised guide to show me the way. I was all alone. All I had with me were my convictions and my belief. I was stripped of all sense of security and thrust into the dried and dreaded wilderness that was the Great Rift Valley. I had gone for 6 hours without food and water. All that I had with me now were hazy memories of a life that had long since passed me by. As I glanced around, I could see no sign of human existence. I had walked around in utter despondency and dreaded grief for half a day in a bid to find my companions. Where too had they vanished with no sign or intimation? My steed had vanished into thin air as I was left with naught but the clothes on my back. The sun was beating down hard upon my brow. As I glanced around for a sign that would suggest any trace of my fellow companions, I felt a strange tingling sensation on the back of my neck. I ignored it, for I felt that my mind was surely playing tricks on me, and yet with every passing second, the sensation grew. It grew until there came a moment that the tingling slowly transformed into a sharp, stinging sensation. I panicked. I knew that the Great Rift Valley was a haven for dangerous animals of all kinds. As I slid my hand down my back, I touched a cold, slithering body. A cold, slithering body of what was unmistakably a snake. The pain in my head had now subsided, as my senses were benumbed. I firmly held the snake and dislodged its teeth that had firmly sunk into the back of my neck. A sharp pain arose in my spine. What madness was this? It indeed was the end of all my efforts. A befitting denial to all my desires of securing for myself a greater life. But why? Why had God thus conspired against me? Why had He rescued me from my despondent, self-loathing existence, only to put me through unbearable pain and suffering? Why had He punished me in so ghastly a way, when in my heart I sought for nothing but a divine existence short of all instinctive, self-centered streak of sensory gratification? Was I wrong in desiring that? Why? These were the last thoughts racing through my benumbed mind as I beheld the snake that had eased me out of life's scourge, only to deliver me into the jaws of death. I looked at the snake. It was an aspis. I smiled at the irony of the Lord's ways, for even in ending the seemingly endless scourge of life, he had allowed me the privilege of a sweet death. The aspis, a venomous snake, originally from the Nile region, was hailed for its virtue of granting its victim a painless death. The poison in the aspis fangs, often used by kings and queens of old to dispense death by dignified means, was slow to act, and often induced sleepiness and heaviness in the victim without any sign of pain. I had read accounts of people experiencing strange visions after ingesting the poison of the aspis, which eventually killed the victim. My mind was spinning. I was delirious, but it seemed like a befitting end to an eventful and equally meaningless life. Darkness set in, and I was lost to the five senses of the body. I seemed to be moving through a tunnel of light. All around me I could see a myriad of colors, interspersed and intermingled in the cosmos. Dead ahead of me, I could see a small window of white light. As I approached it, the window grew larger and larger until it engulfed me. I heaved a sigh of relief, for I knew that my ordeal was finally over. As I prepared myself to welcome death with open arms, a streak of gold entered the haze of colors and engulfed me completely before I could reach the light. It took me away from the haze of colors as I was now cocooned in a blur of gold and white. Suddenly there was a blinding flash and I closed my eyes, for I knew that the end was near. The blinding light lifted away, and there I was, all alone, standing in the dark. I blinked around in the darkness, as in a flash the scene melted away into nothingness, and there I was, standing in a room of light. This was not heaven. This was not death. This was something else. There was a man. There was a man standing there with me. He had his back to me. The man turned around to face me, and I looked at him as if I had seen a ghost. It was the face of a man whom I had not seen for months on end. The man who was instrumental in bringing me to this point, the point of no return. The man who in every single way was responsible for my state of anguish. It was Wolfgang.